So you study parenting.
I do.
Particularly fathering, and also the way mental and physical health is affected by family roles.
Yes.
So can you tell me just about some of your recent research and findings in this area?
Most of the recent research that I've been doing, I'm very interested in fathers and mothers and how they negotiate who's going to do what as parents. We sort of assume going into parenting that our partner is on the same page as us and, of course, has the same goals and values and ideals and don't really talk about it most of the time. And so the child arrives and, surprise, we're not on the same page. And so we see a fair amount of parents that the satisfaction in their relationship declines right after the birth of the first baby. But there's a lot of variability. And part of my work is looking at, is that one of the reasons that if we can help better prepare people for being parents and to negotiate what they're going to do as a couple and as parents and co-parents, that seems to help. So that's been one of them. And then some of the other stuff I've looked at is the influence of non-residential fathers with their children, their relationships, the ways they stay involved. And then most recently, looking at father influences on childhood obesity.
Oh, wow. Do you work with the Rudd Center at all with that? Or?
I have. And also a colleague of mine who just moved to the University of Florida, who was over in nutrition. So looking at combining kind of nutrition education with parent education programs for dads of low-income preschoolers and helping them involve their kids in cooking and nutritious eating and healthy activity.
Have you found that there is a correlation there between fathers who live outside of the home and obesity?
Yeah. For both residential and non-residential dads, there's a pretty strong association between their own obesity and habits and their children's, and in some situations, even more so than the mom's.
Okay.
Which
interesting.
Is interesting because people think of mom as being the primary caregiver and food preparer and shopper and all of those things. But there seems to be some research coming out that dads have a unique impact on that. So.
Very interesting. So I'm curious about your thoughts as a parenting expert on these things that we hear about a lot, like helicopter parenting and lawnmower parenting, which is the new term, which kind of that recent college admission scandal reminds me of that. Clearing out the obstacles. Is this going to mess up our kids, this wave of maybe over-involved parents?
It's not helpful. One of the things that we know about child development is that one of the early tasks, toddler and preschool, is learning to cope with failure and learning emotional resilience and learning coping strategies. And we don't allow our children to learn those, especially when people kind of do everything for their kids or try and just keep all the burdens out of the way. We don't want our kids to struggle. That's natural. But it's sort of like our immune systems. A certain amount of, you know, being exposed to bacteria is good for our immune systems. A certain amount of adversity is good for our coping skills. And it's much easier to learn when you're three than when you're 25 or 45. A lot of the research is correlational. It's not longitudinal. So it's hard to kind of say which came first, the chicken or the egg. Mm-hmm. You know, was it the helicopter parent or was it a child who needed maybe a little more attention? But not letting your kids try and fail and overcome that on their own is not generally helpful. It keeps them from developing a lot of skills that will really be useful later in life.
And you co-authored the latest edition of a textbook that I assume is used pretty widely in your field, Family Theories, An Introduction. So I'm wondering, how are these theories and frameworks about what a family is? So it goes through a bunch of different kind of frameworks for looking at families. So how are these theories and frameworks changing today about how families function and with all these new kind of modern families that we hear about? How has that evolved?
It's evolved quite a bit. Our theories are products of our time and products of the way we're thinking about things at any given point in time. And any theory is a lens. You know, there's no kind of master theory that, okay, this is it. We've figured out how to understand families and everybody just use this. That's not going to happen. And it's not necessarily even the goal. So it's having kind of a rich diversity of different approaches and different lenses to look at families with in different circumstances and seeing which fits and helps explain things the best. And those have definitely evolved over time. Back in the 50s, we saw a great deal of what we called structural functionalism, which is we have fathers and we have mothers and men do this and women do this. And that's what makes the world go round, you know, that we need to be specialists and that men and women need to be complementary to one another. And that's the best way for families to function is with that structure and each specializing in their own functions. We've moved away from that. And, you know, we've talked about that there are a lot of different roles and more or less families can take on and parents can take on and children can take on a number of different roles and different ways of relating to one another. And lots of them can be successful and lots of them can be problematic. And so just having this sort of singular view is definitely has moved out of phase to much more pluralistic and diverse and understanding new ways of looking at individuals and families and the ways that they interact.
Has the definition of family changed?
Absolutely. I think the definition of it would depend on who you ask. That's something that's been a hot topic of discussion, certainly in family sciences over the years, of exactly what is a family or the family. One of our prominent journals used to be called Journal of Marriage and the Family. They changed it to just be family to understand that there's more than one type. And so it really depends on kind of what you're looking at. Are you looking at a household and who lives in a particular residence? Are you looking at anyone who has interactions with one another? Are you looking at kind of psychological closeness or physical presence? All of these are different ways of thinking about it and may have different answers as to kind of who's in or who's out at any given time for any given family.
It's really interesting that just taking out the word the makes that much
of a difference. It makes a statement,
but it
right?
really does. Yeah, that's really interesting.
You know, I've had students pretty much every semester will ask me, so what's the best kind of family, right? Like, what's best for kids? And I said, best for kids is to have at least one caring, competent adult who cares for them. And then after that, the more of those we can have, typically the better. Mm-hmm. You know, and what roles they serve and what biological relationship they have, those sort of take a secondary role to if they're engaging in positive interactions and doing good things with kids, then the more we can have people doing that, it's generally better for kids.
I'm always interested in how a person's background informs what they do. So how did you come to study this area?
I've always been a bit of an underdog champion. And when I was an undergraduate, I did an honors thesis. I was very interested in child abuse prevention and had actually done some work with foster parents and with the child abuse neglect system in Washington, D.C. And so I did an honors project on child abuse prevention. And at that time, one of the local agencies wanted me to do like a lit review, basically, because they had just sort of realized all their stuff targeted mothers. And nobody had really looked at whether fathers had a role in child abuse prevention, which, of course, we know now is huge. So they wanted me to take a look at the literature and see, do we know anything about these dads? Like, would it be worth trying to involve them in our child abuse efforts? And the answer was yes. And so I kind of held on to that. And when I went back to graduate school, I did a lot of reading and looked around. And I said, no, this is still kind of where I'm at. I'm interested in what dads do. We know tons about moms as parents and almost nothing about fathers. And there's a lot of questions to be answered. So somebody's got to answer them. I guess I'll start.